and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm a year older than I was last week. Well, I'm not a year older within a week. I mean, that would be a weird sort of bending of the space-time continuum.
But, happy birthday, mate.
But thanks, mate. Yeah, the clock of life has ticked another hour on.
So, how do you feel?
Well, you know, it's a weird one. 46 now. 46. And I don't like the sound of that.
Well, I mean, put it this way. If you're lucky, it's about midlife.
Yeah, I think I'm over the halfway
oh, dear.
Point. No, I just... I think, you know, 92, I think, is going to be a real stretch. I mean, you never know.
It's ambitious.
But it's ambitious, yeah. And I sort of think I am past halfway. And I think the midlife crisis, it's one of those things, like most people have a midlife crisis where they think, oh God, you know, I've not achieved anything. What have I done with my life? Let's go and buy a sports car, all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm not having that. Or a motorbike.
Or a motorbike, yeah. Start dressing in sort of teenagey clothes again, trying to look trendy, all that sort of stuff. I'm not doing any of that. I mean, I look at my life and think, have I achieved what I wanted to achieve? No. But then how many people really do?
We can't all be Elon Musk, can we?
No, but even he hasn't achieved everything he wants to achieve, has he?
I suppose not. See?
People
can never have enough, can they?
Settlements on other planets, you know, it's completely outlandish things. Whereas mine were pretty simple desires in life and achievements. But no, for me, the midlife crisis has really been looking ahead at how many years I've got left to work. I remember talking a few weeks ago about I can't wait to retire. Now, you don't want to wish your life away. That's the other thing. You've got this weird weighing up going on where you don't want to wish your life away. But on the other hand, I keep thinking, God, I've probably got another 30 years of work that I've got to find. I've got to deal with all of that. So that's my midlife crisis. It's like, I'd like to retire right now and enjoy the rest of my life. But actually, you look at it, I can't enjoy the rest of my life because I've got to fill it with fucking work.
So you don't think you're going to retire till the age of 76?
I think if I'm lucky.
Well, so long as nothing happens to me in the meantime, I'll always keep a spare room for you here, mate.
Oh, you can, cheers.
You can live in the loft or something, you know, like a
great
womble or something.
That's really helping the midlife crisis. You're going to end up in Ben's loft. It's not even like I'm the Fonz living above the Cunninghams. Like, I'm not the cool cat about town. I'll be the sad, lonely old man in a loft. like fucking Notre Dame, like the hunchback. I'll sort of be looking out the... I bet you haven't got... Have you got a skylight in your loft?
No, I don't think so, no.
No daylight at all. So just they won't even see me. They'll just hear me go, oh, the bells! I don't know why I'm saying the bells.
There are no bells, no. My ring doorbell hasn't worked in years.
I'm after. The bells! Famous grouse!
You know, twice a day I'll leave a glass of water and a plate of rice at the
Why have you turned this into a prisoner situation? To start with, it was a friendly welcome. If you need a roof over your head, Trev, there's always space in my house. It was a very suddenly I'm a prisoner where I'm given water and rice. I mean, Jesus Christ, man.
So
that turned very dark very quickly, and I'm beginning to question the entire basis of our friendship. Like, this whole thing has been some sort of hostage situation.
Aside from all of this slightly depressing outlook on the rest of your life, what have you learned? What information can you pass on from your 46 years on the planet thus far?
I like this. This is the respect of the elder that I was looking for. This is the turning to the wizened old man to ask.
Well, after you the rice and water comment went down very badly, so I thought I should show some respect at least.
The first thing I've learned from life is don't threaten to imprison people. That's quite important. That can backfire. Now, what have I learned from life? Well, it's difficult to say. I mean, I think one of the main things I've learned in life is everyone is bullshitted and making it up as they go along.
100%.
I've spent 30 years working now, almost 30 years, and I have very rarely come across anyone who really knows what the hell they're doing. You sit in meetings with managers who have got themselves to some elevated position. And you know, I don't envy that. I don't want to be in those positions. I've never wanted to be a manager. I couldn't think of anything worse than being a manager and having to make those kinds of decisions. But you sit in meetings, but it's the pompousness and the self-belief that they give. And you do wonder whether they have the same imposter syndrome that we all have. I think those people who don't have imposter syndrome are probably the worst people, because they believe they're good. At least most of us are going, oh, geez, I've got to make up some shit here. I've got to, like, every day is a battle, isn't it? Every day you wake up, you think, right, I've got to overcome a problem today. I've got to have some sort of faux confidence to prove to somebody that I know what I'm doing. And I think that's tiring. I think it's so tiring. I'd rather just say, yeah, I mean, I'll give it a go. I'll try
it. Well, I think with you, I think a lot of people, when I worked with you for a good sort of 2.5 years, a lot of people would come to you to get advice, solve audio problems, tips on voiceover recording, things like that. And I think that's because you weren't... Is braggadocious a word?
Braggadocious. If it's not, it should be. That's a great word. Can we put that in the dictionary if it's not? I'm looking it up now. Braggadocious.
It feels a bit Mary Poppins, but...
Have you heard this word before? Has it just come to mind?
It just came to mind. Trevor Smith, not a braggadocious man.
Well, I'm putting it in. There is a word, braggadocious. I'm going to be using that word a lot more.
Well, that's my gift to your next 46 years, the gift of the word braggadocious.
Braggadocious.
And you weren't braggadocious.
It does sound a bit Mary Poppins. You're right. It should be sung.
Yeah, I think people were genuinely impressed by the work you could produce. And it's not because you were full of yourself or up your own arse. It was because they respected your work. So I think brag with your work, not with your words. I'm like a philosopher today.
Oh, I know. It's like Confucius is on the end of the line.
I'm wondering if we could try and make our own version of super Confucius braggadocious expialidocious.
So I think that's certainly, you know, that's one of the lessons of life I've learned in 46 years. Another lesson I've learned is, again, it's a people-based one. Don't expect a good answer the first time you ask a question.
Why not?
Because I find people hold back. You want an answer to a question. If you would go to an expert, I had an example this week, right? I needed to, my bank, I got a text message from my bank, and totally out of the blue, it said, hi, very sort of, very jaunty, I thought, not dear Mr. Smith. It's like, this is from your bank. It's like, hi. Hi, guys.
I'm not your mate. Oh, you know, a bit more formality from the bank, I'd like, please.
There's no name either. It's not like, hi, Trev. So it's not... Well,
this is a red flag of a scam text, if you ask me.
Well, that's what I thought. It says, hi, we found an issue with your debit card, so we've sent you a replacement. Your old card won't work after 28 days or as soon as you use the new one. And I thought, well, this is... It comes from a number that I have had messages from the bank before, but I'm still
skeptical. That's reassuring.
But I'm still skeptical. So I message the bank and I say, look, I've received a text. I want to check that it's genuine, but I'd also like to know what the issue with the card is that you've discovered. And honestly,
questions.
To get an answer to those questions was a good hour of my life gone.
Oh, dear.
Their response was, yes, I've checked. There is a card ending with some numbers that was triggered on the 15th of September. Could you please confirm you've received it? No answers to any of the questions I've asked.
Mate, this is making me nervous. I'm worried you're falling for a scam here.
So then I respond and say, the card hasn't arrived yet. It's good to know that the text probably was genuine, but why has a new card been sent? What is the issue with the current one? I've had no trouble with it. Thank you. Always end with a thank you, even though it's a slightly aggressive text.
It's a shitty message, yeah.
Right. The answer is, do not worry. I can order a new card for you in that case. Could you please confirm your complete address?
Hang on a minute.
Said that one's on the fucking way.
God, how annoying.
So I respond, I believe one is in the post already. I'd like to know what issues have been detected on my current card, as I've not encountered any problems with it yet. Please, tell me. I can see there was a card ending triggered on the 15th of September.
Oh, I'd like this to, is a scam, mate.
I'd like to. This is through the bank app, though, mate. I'd like to inform you that the new card will take up to 5 working days. Oh, I know this. I go back to them and go, what is the problem detected on my current card? Eventually, I get an answer. Not a full and comprehensive answer that I was hoping for. It just says, I see that your current card details. Now, the English isn't great here, but I'm not having a go at them for that, right?
Because this is probably can I explain what's happened here?
Yeah.
Do you realise you're talking to an AI?
Yes, no, I think I am talking to an AI. I think it definitely
That's
is
the problem.
AI. Even though he gave me a name, I knew it was AI. Because it says, I see that your current card details had the potentially compromised. This is Barclays. Had a potentially compromised? Jesus Christ, people. Come on. So I respond. I go, okay, thank you, I suppose. It then goes
you
on.
You didn't write I suppose, did you? You didn't no, write didn't. Thank you, I suppose.
No, I just
I was going to say
you.
You bitch.
It then comes through. It goes, and we always like to make sure that our dedicated team keeps you on track. Well, you haven't kept me on track. It's taken me an hour to get to the bottom of... Well, I haven't really got to the bottom of... Where has it been compromised? If it's been compromised, why is it still available to use for 28 days?
Yeah, it should have been frozen immediately if it was compromised.
Right, so anyway, it goes on. They go, rest assured, for any further assistance, you can get back to us. We're always here for you. Is there anything else I can help? I just go, no, thank you for your help. Because... You're most welcome. So I'm thinking, oh, right, it's done. And then a message pops up. Thank you for being patient. I appreciate your patience. Please note, a debit card is reissued when your debit card details... Oh, Christ! So this is what I mean, Ben. You ask someone a simple question. And I've had, I wouldn't say 46 years of this, but once you reach adulthood, 30 years of this, dealing with... fucking morons. So I think that's a lesson I've learned, that just if you want to find something out, if you've got a problem, you need to set out a good couple of hours in your day to get to the bottom of a problem.
I don't remember exactly when I did it in my life, but if there is a phone number I can ring, I will always go for that and speak to a human being instead of using these stupid chat services that businesses provide, because they are so unhelpful. And I've even noticed, though, sometimes you end up speaking on the phone to a fucking robot.
And oh, you man. Need to, yeah,
and
yeah.
And they're getting better as well. It's hard sometimes to know straight away. A big key is, especially with... robot calls that you might receive, cold calls and stuff, there's usually a bit of a pause before they start talking where they've detected that you've answered the phone.
Oh, yes, yes.
So that's always a giveaway. But some of the call centres now are using this AI voice robot thing, and it's so unhelpful.
But the thing is, even if you do talk to someone, I remember having I had a problem with my... television. I'd not had a new television, I'd not had it long, and it developed a problem with the sound and I couldn't solve it, and it was pissing me off, right?
Okay.
So I'd been online, I'd been on the forums, I'd been on, and in the end I thought, well, I'm going to phone the Samsung helpline and talk to someone and try and get to the bottom of this. And this guy starts talking to me, and he's all very polite, you know, he's trying to be helpful, but the problem was this wasn't a robot, right? This was a good few years ago, so I don't think AI was a thing then. But he clearly wasn't listening to anything I was saying, because he said, I'm going to take you through, Mr. Smith, I'm going to take you through the steps you need to resolve this problem. And he said, right, so if you press this button on your remote control, you should get this menu pop up. And I said to him, I don't have that button on my remote control.
Oh, dear.
And he just went, so now can you see the menu, Mr. Smith? I said, no. No, because I don't have the button you said on the remote control. And he went, right, so now you've got the menu in front of you. And I thought, he's not fucking listening. This isn't a robot, right? But he's just not listening. I did get a little bit testy. I went, look, I don't think you are talking me through the same model of television that I have And he went, oh, I'm very sorry, Mr. Smith. So look, what model are you at? And we're back to fucking question one. We're back to question fucking one. What model did I tell him? And he says, right, okay, Mr. Smith, now on your remote. And he went through exactly the same thing. Press this button. I don't have this. And do you know what I did in the end? Rather than get cross with him, I went along with the whole thing. I went along with it. I was going, yeah, I've got the menu up now. Yeah.
Why did you do this?
I just thought, I can't be bothered to be rude. I'll just let him think he's solved the problem, and then we can all move on with our lives. He's going away happy. He thinks he's done his job. He's being paid a pittance somewhere. I can just find out somewhere else that I don't. And it went on for about 20 minutes. I was like, yeah, oh yeah, no, it's all working now. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Why not just hang up and let him think maybe the line got cut off or something?
Because, dude, I can't be that rude, Ben.
But he might have assumed it just lost connection.
I know, but I couldn't do that, Ben.
Oh, I do have a little tip for you.
Go on.
Now, I'm not sure. I know that you probably don't have an iPhone, but I do know that if you want to cut someone off convincingly,
yeah,
which doesn't look like the call has ended, put your iPhone mid phone call. If it's a phone call you just want to get out of, put your phone into airplane mode and it will immediately end the call, and the other person on their iPhone will get the message, call failed.
Right.
Now, that implies you haven't hung up on them. Some sort of technical fault has happened and the call has failed.
I'm really paranoid now, because when I'm on the phone to you a lot, we get cut off a lot.
No.
I never get call failed, but we get cut off. I'm suddenly like, Ben, it's like, you've gone, fuck this, he's talking shit again.
No, that would only be
Ben,
true.
Put it on airplane mode. Yeah, it's Trev. Yeah, airplane mode, yeah. Yeah, fucking hell, not talking to him again. Jesus, fucking. Every week he's phoning me. I mean, I've offered him a place in the loft, but if he comes, he's a fucking prisoner. Not talking to him.
That would
give
be
him some water
plausible.
And rice.
It would be plausible if I didn't call you back 1 second later saying, for fuck's sake, what? Why can't we even do a phone call? It's a miracle we can cobble together a podcast.
I've just always assumed that's AI phoning me back. You know, this is another thing I've learned. Technology, it's all a fucking scam. Basically, rather than give you something that will work properly, nothing ever works properly. Whenever you buy anything, it doesn't do what you want it to do. There'll always be a problem very early on. You think, I've bought this thing to do this, and it's not doing it. Or within a year, it's no longer supported. Fuck off. What do you mean it's no longer supported? Because you want to squeeze more money out of us all the fucking time. I've noticed this with the kind of new model, the subscription model for software.
I hate this particular grift. I fall for it myself with Adobe Creative Cloud for various audio editing. What I'm recording into now is provided by Adobe. And I have other programs I use from time to time as well. So I pay for the full-on Creative Cloud package. And it's not cheap, and it's monthly. And I just wish I could... The amount I've paid them over the years, I wish I could have just bought it outright. And they do it with video games now too. In the good old days, you'd pay, you know, 30, 40, 50, at a push, 60 quid for a video game, and then it's yours, you've got it. Now, they want you to buy unlockable add-on packs and stuff. And
scam,
you know, there's a monthly subscription to you know, carry on doing online gaming and all this shit. You've got to pay for the online gaming subscription separately. And it's a constant grift of getting more and more and more out of you. I hate it.
But I just think, give me something that's going to work for the rest of my life. That's what I want. You know, I accept that the hardware might go wrong, but if I buy a bit of software, that should be it. It should work for the rest of my life. I shouldn't have to be updating it. You should never not support it. Why would you just say, no, we're not supporting that anymore? You can fuck off. No.
So,
outrageous.
We've had a few cautionary... words of lessons you feel people should know as they advance through life, you've learned by the age of 46.
Yeah, I think it's been very useful. It's more as a cathartic experience for me than if I've really passed on any words of wisdom.
Well, I was going to ask, not for words of so much wisdom, as just maybe something positive you could
something
pass
positive.
On from your 46 years. Anything at all, Trey?
Anything at all. Well, I suppose... I mean, I'm not a fan of the... I know people that would say to me, you've already started this with a negative. This is supposed to be a positive thing, and you've started with, I'm not. That's not a great way to start a positive thing. Now, I'm not a fan, as you know. I've said this a lot. I'm not a fan of the human race. I was listening to a podcast the other day.
Right? I didn't see that coming.
Okay. I was listening to a podcast the other day with John Lloyd, the legendary comedy producer John Lloyd, who I love and adore, think he's a genius, right? But he was talking about his philosophy in life, and he was talking about when he was in his 30s, when he sort of hit a bit of a barren spell in life, and he thought about it. He thought, you know, I need to think about the way I live my life a bit more. But he's got this theory that if you assume that everyone is a good person, then it's a happier life. If you sort of go with that, because you'll get that back. If you approach someone with an open, friendly feeling about yourself, then you'll get that back, right? I kind of understand that, but I'm very much of the opinion, if you just assume that everyone's a tosser, just assume that everyone's a bit of a dick, then when you actually talk to them, and you're like, oh, actually, no, you're not a dick. So that's the positive thing, is you do come across good people in life, and there are good people in the world. You know, there are amazing people doing amazing things, and that fills me with great joy when you hear of good people doing things. Yeah. There are good people, Ben, and you just gotta find them.
Well, I think that's a fairly positive thing to end on for your advice. Okay, but yeah. As it is your birthday,
yes,
I think I'd like to pass on to you a quote from.
Oh, I thought you were going to sing. I'd like to sing you happy birthday.
No, it's in my typical form. It's going to be a quote from Martin Crane from the sitcom Frasier.
Good, good, yes.
And it fits in. It's birthday themed. Just before they bring out the birthday cake to start singing, Martin Crane says, "Well, you can believe what you want, but I think people are born rotten and every year they get worse." Happy birthday.
They've been talking of significant milestones.
Yes.
This is episode 195, so the big 200 is looming large.
It's on the horizon.
So I thought, wouldn't it be nice to do something leading up to and finishing with a big finale on the 200th episode?
What a great idea.
So I said to you, I said, why don't we start... because we did our hugely popular, surprisingly not award-winning soap opera earlier in the year.
Who could forget Secrets and Betrayals?
Who could forget it? So I thought, well, that was a rip-roaring success. I mean, people were talking about it for seconds. It was incredible. So I thought, what if we did a murder mystery?
I love it.
So for the next six episodes... we will present a murder mystery.
I'm so excited by this.
So I said to you, well, let's go down the AI route and see whether AI can do slightly better than it did with the soap opera, and see whether we can get it to give us six episodes of a murder mystery. And as we did with the soap, neither of us have seen the script as yet. But what we did do was come up with some characters that we wanted to be in it.
Yes, we came up with some professions and personality traits. We mainly let the AI decide the names and other things like that. The main thing I wanted out of this was that, because let's be honest, this didn't happen with Secrets and Betrayals, our soap opera. I wanted a story that actually had a story arc and concluded properly.
Are you saying Secrets and Betrayals didn't have that?
Well, I'll let the listener decide. Now, I and neither of you, hand to God, we have not read this in advance. Mrs. Ben has very kindly read through it for me. The first draft she told me was, quotes, unusable. So we
does
are.
Not, it doesn't bode well, does it?
She basically said that I never appeared at all.
Right.
And it was just you basically asking the same question in slightly different wording over and over again for the last four episodes.
Can I say it sounds fucking brilliant?
It does sound good, doesn't it? Maybe we can look at that one day as a bonus chapter. But for the time being, I have learned a little bit more about how to speak to the AI, how to get it to do what I want. And according to Mrs. Ben, draft number two, it's not without its flaws, but it does provide some kind of story arc. Although it hasn't, and unfortunately, Trev, all the little things we wanted to throw in, some of those things it has chosen to ignore.
I mean, what is wrong with AI? It's like the bloke on the end of the television helpline. It's not fucking listening.
So, shall we proceed?
Okay. So, this is episode one. I haven't opened the script yet, but I can see the title. This is episode one of Shadows of Deceit, a murder mystery at Wimsley Manor.
First of all, loving Wimsley Manor.
It's a great name, isn't it? Wimsley Manor. I mean, that's a place I'd definitely like to go and stay on some sort of Airbnb trip. Two nights at Wimsley Manor.
So are we going to, for the sake of future shorthand, refer to it as simply Shadows of Deceit, or do we have to say Shadows of Deceit, a murder mystery at Wimsley Manor every time?
I quite like it because you can say a murder mystery. There's something about saying a murder mystery.
Okay, so
murder.
The first thing I'm noticing looking at the script is that the characters all just seem to be there with no real introduction. So the introduction is given to us as to who the characters are at the top of the script.
Right, okay.
Shall I do the honours of the narrator, Trev?
Yes, come on, let's kick it off.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wimsley Manor, where an enigmatic gathering takes place. Our characters tonight are as follows. Trev, a mysterious traveller with a hidden past who carries an air of intrigue wherever he goes.
Oh, got me down, haven't they? Got me down.
Yes, I mean, you don't really go travelling much, but it's an interesting character trait, I think.
But when I do travel, I'm certainly mysterious.
Detective Inspector Ben Harmer.
Oh, I see. He's giving himself the rank.
I didn't give myself this role. This is all AI. I mean, I'm thrilled, but I genuinely didn't do it myself. Detective Inspector Ben Harmer, a seasoned investigator with a sharp mind, known for his relentless pursuit of truth and justice. Jean-Pierre Leclerc, a passionate male artist celebrated for his ability to capture the essence of the moment on canvas, his passion burning brighter than any brushstroke.
Nice.
I mean, it's a bit full on, isn't it? Reverend Thorne, a saucy vicar with a penchant for innuendo-laden remarks, whose suggestive comments often dance on the edge of propriety.
Oh, it's like a carry-on. We've got a carry-on element to this. That pleases me a lot.
Vix McAllister, a seductive internet influencer whose sultry demeanour and captivating presence have won her countless admirers in the digital realm.
Ooh, modern.
Now, if this was a real murder mystery scenario, I think you would hate Vix McAllister.
I hate her anyway.
Headmistress Prudence Worthington, a retired headmistress whose strict demeanour and critical eye have left an indelible mark on her former students.
Right.
And finally, Arnold Whitman, a very bookish accountant whose monotone voice has a knack for making even the most exciting topics sound utterly dull, often eliciting yawns and heavy eyelids from his audience.
Marvellous. Well, there's our cast.
So what do you think of the cast so far, Trev?
I'm liking it. I'm liking the cast. I think Vix McAllister, I've already got her down as the killer.
Really?
Or I'm more hoping she's the victim. Let's get her out of the way very quickly. Reverend Thorne, I think, is going to be my favourite character throughout this.
The saucy vicar.
I'm very much looking forward to his innuendo-laden remarks.
I'm quite interested in hearing the passion of Jean-Pierre Leclerc.
Jean-Pierre Leclerc, he's obviously, yeah, one of those very intense artists. he might be a difficult character with his artistic temperament.
Well, there's only one way to find out, Trev. Shall we crack on?
Let's do it.
The sound of a grand dinner party at Wimsley Manor. Crystal chandeliers cast eerie shadows in the opulent dining room. Laughter and clinking of glasses fill the air as our guests, Trev, Detective Inspector Ben Harmer, Jean-Pierre Leclerc, Reverend Thorne, Vix McAllister, Headmistress Prudence Worthington, and Arnold Whitman engage in lively conversation. Part 1. The Sinister Dinner Party. The character of Trev raising his glass.
Yeah, when a new character comes in, we should say who's saying it the first time. Just so
I think that's only fair. So we establish the voices. Yeah. I mean, our voices should be fairly self-explanatory, but
right. Okay. Right. So I'm obviously I'm raising my glass and giving a toast. Okay.
Okay.
To new acquaintances and intriguing mysteries. Tell me, Mr. Harmer, what's the most baffling case you've ever encountered?
Ben Harmer, sipping his wine. Well, Trev, there was one involving a missing diamond tiara that still haunts me. The thief was cunning, to say the least.
Ooh, I feel already a seed's been sown.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't put too much on that, mate, if I was you.
Right. Jean-Pierre Leclerc is next. Who's going to do that? Should I do that?
Well, can I just check, is French one of the languages we're allowed to do without being cancelled? Is that okay?
Yeah, it's all in good taste.
Because for continuity, we've got to stick to the voices here. So would you like to be Jean-Pierre or shall I?
I'm quite happy to take it on.
Okay, you can be Jean-Pierre. So now try and not get us cancelled, Trev. So okay. Jean-Pierre Leclerc, animatedly.
Oh, mon ami, the energy in this room, it is electric. Oh, I wonder, Mr. Armour, have you ever tried to capture a crime scene on canvas?
Now, Trev, I don't mean to critique, but I do feel that whilst I admired his deep French accent there, I do stress it. The audience do need to be able to work out what's being said, and I couldn't understand that, and I've got the script in front of me.
Oh, mon ami, you are English pig.
Would you like to dial back the French just a touch so that the audience can hear the line?
Honestly, I'm a performer. You know? I was in the zone then.
I'm critiquing.
Mon ami, the energy in this room, it is electric. I wonder, Mr. Armour, have you ever tried to capture a crime scene on canvas?
I mean, odd, but better. So, Reverend Thorne.
Reverend Thorne, the saucy vicar.
Now, does he fall to me to voice?
I mean, there's a bit of me that would quite like to do Reverend Thorne, but then I'm already taking out a lot of voices.
No, that's fine. You can be Reverend Thorne too, if you want. I mean, you might have to... There might be large portions of you talking to yourself, but that's fine. Go for it, Trev. Reverend Thorne, please, with a playful smirk.
Electric indeed. And I must say, this gathering has an air of scandalous delight. And speaking of scandal, Miss McAllister, have you ever considered a career in the church?
Vix McAllister, dressed in a sultry black gown, leans in closer to Reverend Thorne.
I think this is you.
Okay. Vix McAllister, seductively. Scandalous. I do adore a little intrigue, Vicar, she says at the handsome detective. And, Mr. Harmer, have you ever been tempted by a seductive suspect? Have you noticed in the last two lines...
No one ever answers any questions. Do they work for fucking Barclays?
People have, in the last two lines, directed questions at me. And I must be chowing down at the dinner table. face deep in pudding at the moment. I'm not answering anybody. Headmistress Worthington speaks next trip.
Do you want to take that on?
I'm a bit worried because if Vix McAllister... Ben Harmer's clearly gone mute. And Vix McAllister, if she's the one that does get killed in episode one, I'm not going to be speaking at all for the next five episodes.
You've got to take what you're Headmistress Worthington. Go on.
I hope this evening won't descend into utter chaos. Proper decorum must be maintained. She eyes Jean-Pierre's bohemian attire disapprovingly. Mr. Leclerc, I trust you've encountered the concept of decorum before?
Can I just say I hope at some point the line, a handbag, comes up? Because I think you need to go, oh, handbag!
Arnold Whitman, the accountant, interjects with a matter-of-fact tone.
Shall I take on Arnold Whitman?
I think that's a good one.
Speaking of decorum, did you know the tax code revisions are a subject of great importance? I recently read a fascinating article on the subject.
The room falls into an awkward silence, the guests exchanging glances as Arnold continues to discuss tax codes in painstaking detail. Suddenly, a blood-curdling scream pierces the air, shattering the uneasy quiet. The guests jump to their feet, knocking over chairs and glasses. They rush to the grand dining room to find a lifeless body sprawled on the polished marble floor. The victim's throat has been brutally slashed. Gasps and cries of horror fill the room as they discover their first murder victim. Stand back, everyone! This is a crime scene. As the realization sinks in, the stage is set for the sinister mystery that has only just begun.
Well, I mean, it's an intriguing first episode.
It is. I like that Chief Inspector Ben Harmer has, at the end there, finally spoken up.
Yeah, I mean, he strikes me as a very unfriendly character. He's either too interested in his spotted dick than he is the guests around the table.
So thoughts on the first
I went a bit Reverend Thorne then, didn't I?
You're a method actor, Trevor. I expect nothing less.
I know. And I feel I've embodied Reverend Thorne already. I think the others will come, but straight away I'm Reverend Thorne.
So it's interesting that all of the characters seemingly were sitting around the dinner table, and then all of a sudden they heard a scream from the next room.
Which makes you think that the victim isn't one of the six around... Is it six around... However many there are around the table.
It felt like six. It felt like a lot for all the voices.
Yeah, way too many characters, really, when you think about it, for us to perform. But then I think, you know, we've got the ability. I think we've proved that.
I think so. I mean, maybe it was someone who asked Inspector Ben about, you know, have you ever done a crime scene here? Have you ever done a canvas there? Maybe they were so annoyed that he just blanked them, that they wandered into another room, and maybe they're one of our first victims.
Well, I wonder if it's more sinister than that, actually. The reason Ben Harmer didn't respond to any of the questions is he wasn't in the fucking room.
Ooh.
He was next door murdering somebody. I mean, why are the people talking to him if he's not there? I don't know. Maybe you've left a cardboard cutout or something in your place. Or maybe we're just so used to seeing... Because we don't know how we all know each other. Clearly, there's some link there that we all know each other. Maybe we're just so used to you being pissed up in the corner of the dinner table that we have direct questions that you're not expecting an answer.
I have asked, where
have you been? That's what I want to know.
I have asked the AI to provide some sort of explanation as to how all these characters are all linked. And I'll just tell you this, no spoilers, we might not get that. But it might be something we can clean up in the future. I mean, chapter one, after all the introductions at the beginning, I'm going to say it was brief, enjoyable. And I think we've had a small taster of who all the characters are. And I think going forward, we're going to have to try and trust the audience to remember who is who.
Well, trust us to remember who the fuck we were playing.
Because we can't keep announcing the characters' names because we're trying to sell this as a proper legit radio play.
But I think with the different voices we've now embodied, To say who's talking won't be necessary.
That's what I'm hoping.
They'll know that once Reverend Thorne's speaking, it's very, you know, it's like that.
Jean-Pierre Leclerc, obviously, is very French, artistic. He's got an artistic temperament. I suspect he might lose his temper very quickly.
And you know, if you hear seductivity... It's Vix McAllister speaking.
And if you hear, oh, and back, as it's Worthington.
That's very rude. Have you not heard of decorum before?
I mean, I already don't like her. I don't like people like that. It's like, she's retired. Give it up, love. I hate people that still want to be a fucking teacher after they've retired. Gee, I came across someone like this years ago, right? This is someone that, she was an ex, I don't know if she was an ex-headmistress. She was an ex-teacher of some sort. And I had to interview her for the hospital radio when I was sort of in charge of that recruitment side of it. And she came, she was very forthright. I didn't really like her, right? And I can't remember what was said, but this is in the interview with her. She said, "No, some people would say that I'm very forthright and some would say I'm very rude. Which do you think?"
I think she could be the inspiration for this character, I think.
I just said, "Well, you're certainly forthright." I'll give you that. And then I made the mistake of bringing her on board, and she managed to upset pretty much everybody that she ever had any dealings with.
And of course, before we finish, we can't forget the voice of the character that everyone hates, a boring and bookish accountant, Arnold Whitman,
who well, you know, always suspect the quiet, boring ones. Do you know what I mean? I think he might be already up there as a prime suspect because he's, you know, he's monotonous, he's boring, he's quiet, he's probably, train spotting's probably his main hobby in jigsaw puzzles, but he might have a murderous internal aspect to his character.
From a storytelling point of view, it was an interesting choice that we decided on to ask for a specifically boring character. But, you know, so far, I don't hate it.
Well, episode 2 next week. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. I hope you enjoyed the murder mystery, because, well, you're going to have to put up with it for the next 6 weeks. But I feel it's already got the germs of a success.
I'm hooked already.
Before we go, as always, a couple of recommendations for you. I've got a couple of dramas for you this week. First of all, on Channel 4 has been Series 2 of Screw, which is it's got bits of comedy to it, but it's set in a prison. Series 1 was very good. Series 2 has been fantastic. I've really, really enjoyed it. So that will be on More 4, or whatever it's called now, E4.
I think it might be All 4, but all I'm not four, sure. Four, I'm not maybe. Sure 4.
I don't know what it's called. But Screw is what it's called, and that's well worth a watch. And the other thing I'm going to recommend is that I'm only about halfway through a series on Netflix called Who is Erin Carter? And this is one of those that I'd seen a couple of times. I'd watched the trailer and thought, oh, that, yeah, it looks interesting. I'll put that on the watch list and I'll get round to it. And then my parents said to me the other day, they said, "Oh, Trev, have you seen Who is Erin Carter?" I said, "No." He said, "Oh, it's very violent, but it's very good." So I...
Are you slipping like back into the voice of the vicar there?
Ooh, it's very violent. lots of whips and chains.
Your dad isn't Reverend Thorne, is he?
Not as far as I'm aware. But it's the story of a... Well, it's a woman called Erin Carter, but she's clearly got a very different past to the one she's putting forward now as a teacher. It all starts off in a supermarket where there's a robbery. I'm not going to say any more than that. But it has been very, very good.
Very nice. The one thing I'm going to recommend this week is, it's actually a very old, well, I mean, I say it's very old. It's only, I think it's recently finished, but started back in 2015. It's a podcast. I may have recommended it donkeys years ago, but I've started re-listening to it because A, I didn't finish it, and B, I forgot quite how funny it was. It's My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was one of the massive podcasts, wasn't it? It's sort of the following Ricky Gervais, which was a massive podcast. I think My Dad Wrote a Porno became the first kind of massive one with live shows. I think that's an incredible podcast, right? I mean, when you look at, let's go back to where we started the podcast when I said, you know, what have I achieved if I'm having a midlife crisis? Yeah. I look at the Trev and Ben podcast, which is approaching its 200th episode. I look at our listening figures on a, you know, monthly basis. And I think it's fine, all the work and effort that goes in. It's fine. It's worth it. It's really worth it. And then you look at My Dad Wrote a Porno. They sold out the Royal Albert Hall and the Sydney Opera House.
Christ.
Man alive. That's the midlife crisis for me there. That's it. In a nutshell. In a podcast nutshell.
I mean, maybe we should have saved Shadows of Deceit, A Murder Mystery at Wimsley Manor for the Royal Albert Hall. Maybe we're shooting our load too early.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe that'll be series two. We'll be at the Sydney Opera House.
Speaking of shooting your load too early, the recommendation was My Dad Wrote a Porno, hosted by the brilliant Jamie Morton, James Cooper, Alice Levine, and it's incredibly funny. And if you like it, the good news is there's tons of it to listen to.
Have they brought it to an end now? I know they were going to... It was all sort of... have they finished it now?
According to Wikipedia, the last released episode was on the 12th of December 2022, so they haven't released anything in about 9 months. I don't know if it's finished. I have a feeling it has.
If it hasn't, they're certainly bringing it to an end. There might be one more series to go. I know they were going to have one where they brought the dad on, the dad who's written the porno. They were going to have him on the podcast as sort of the finale, I think.
Yeah, I believe it's Jamie Morton's dad who is referred to as his nom de plume Rocky Flintstone.
That's right. Yes. I never got to the end of it. I must say, I got probably two or three series in, and then for some reason I stopped. And I don't really know why, but I might go back and revisit that myself. So that sounds
excellent.
Very good. And I'm just going to throw a cautionary corner element into this bit, which is a new bit of the... It's an evolving bit of the podcast.
I love the cautionary corner. It's become a thing now.
And this comes from regular listener John. So thank you for this, John. He says, we call it cautionary corner. He's called it bullshit avoid. He says... Can I recommend a movie for your bullshit avoid section? Of course you can, John. I quite like the bullshit avoid section. That might be a better title than cautionary corner. I think we did mention this movie. Neither of us had seen it, but thought we would steer well clear of this. I think we mentioned this a couple of... I mean, I'd like to know, John, why you've seen it. That would be the first question I ask. He says the Barbie movie, bloody awful. Bloody awful.
I'm not sure that I'm the intended audience for that film, but it did do incredibly well at the box office. So it's obviously for some people, but I think maybe not for me, and certainly not for John, by the sounds of things.
No. So, John, I think you just backed up what we thought. So what I'd like to say, John, is thank you for watching it so we don't have to.
Yes, it's a service you provided.
So there we are, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on, I don't know what, every week we go through this on...
I refuse to call it X.
Can we just say then, I'm not going to bother with this bullshit every week where we go, because that's just annoying. We're just going to call it Twitter from now on.
Yeah.
Okay. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.